This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, man. Right now, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Connor Riley is here from Dog Nation. Connor, do we know anything before this official announcement comes down from the number one quarterback in the country? I mean, Jared Curtis is going to make his decision today, but do we have a sense of where this is going?
This is as tight-lipped as a recruitment has been in a while. It is between Georgia and Oregon. He has made a commitment video, but he has actually made two commitment videos, one for Georgia, one for Oregon, as we are quite literally in the 11th hour when it comes to the status of Jared Curtis. It's still between Georgia and Oregon. Going into today, I would lean Georgia a little bit just because they have the longest-standing relationship with Curtis, offering him a scholarship in January of 2023. And then also the distance factor when it comes to the family of Athens being much closer to Nashville, where Curtis is from and making his announcement, than Eugene, Oregon is.
I was talking with Carl earlier today about one of your colleagues at Dog Nation, Brandon Adams, was talking about on a podcast, Connor, that Juju Lewis, when he decommitted from USC, he later goes to Colorado. He was kind of in for Georgia. It was almost like he was there the same weekend that Jared Curtis was there for the Tennessee game, and he was kind of back to being a free agent, as it were. Did his father say in the comments that, hey, I want my kid to start. I don't want to wait 3 years like Carson Beck. You think that alienated Kirby and the coaching staff?
You know, I think that Georgia wants things to be a specific way when it comes to their quarterback and development. And look, with Jared Curtis, even with him being their number one quarterback in the country, he's not the type of player that's going to come in and start right away. The competition in Nashville that he faces, quite frankly, is pretty poor. And so there's going to be an adjustment period there for him. And he doesn't expect to come in and start right away. I think the thing that where it starts to get interesting is, okay, what happens when, you know, you get to the end of year two, you get to the end of the year three, and are you seeing the field? You know, Arch Manning at Texas, I think, is a great current example of this where, you know, he did not really start until coming into this 2025 season, but he was a backup this past year. And because of an injury to Quinn Ewers, he got put in there, made some starts during the course of the season. He was willing to wait until that third year. I think the question becomes, is everyone willing to do that? Because obviously the goal is to get to the NFL, and the track record of success that guys have with just 1 year of starting experience is incredibly poor. And so you need multiple years of starting experience. And so the best way to do that is to play early in your time at college. So it's going to be interesting, especially for Georgia, that has shown a patience and a willingness to wait till guys are really further along the development curve, as opposed to some schools, like you saw with Tennessee and Nico Iamaleava, who, you know, rode the bench year one. That was sort of the plan. Starts year two, didn't maybe make the big leap that so many expected. Now he wants to renegotiate and get paid more going into year three, and he ultimately ends up transferring to UCLA and just sort of washing away Tennessee's plan for the last 3-4 years at the quarterback position. Mm.
What about Bo Bentley, the kid out of Salina High School north of Dallas? If Jared decides he's going to Oregon, okay, does that mean that is the next guy that they're going after? We do know, right, that Todd or Mike Bobo went and visited this young man too, right?
Yeah, you know, both Oregon and Georgia have made some contingency plans in the event that they don't end up landing a Jared Curtis. For Georgia, Bo Bentley is that top target right now. Out of Salina, Texas, played much better competition than Curtis did. The biggest difference that Bentley is not the same level of recruit. It just comes down to size. He's listed at 6'1", 200. There are Stetson Bennett vibes in terms of play style that you sort of get from Bentley. And just given the Curtis recruitment that's been a five-star, that he was a one-time Georgia commit and then decommitted and sort of the noise that has come with it, I think there is a sect of Georgia fans out there that are like, hey, we'll take the kid in Bentley, who seems to really fit the culture that Georgia has built and cultivated on competition and just wants to sort of keep their head down and work. I think Curtis is a guy who has a much higher upside, but you see a lot in what Georgia likes in Bentley. And if they do end up missing out on Curtis and they end up going all in on Bentley, I think they'd be very happy with either quarterback.
I mean, for everything I've read, as Connor Riley, guys from Dog Nation, joins us, you know, Jared Curtis was on the hook. And everything seemed like it was hunky-dory. And then all of a sudden, and you know, Kirby's still talking to him. I saw some of the sound bites where, you know, he's talking about his interaction with the coaching staff and being comfortable there. And the night that I mentioned that Vols game when they were in Athens, you know, just talking with the coach, not even talking football, Carl, just talking, you know, conversation-wise. So with all due respect, and I don't know Jared Curtis from a hole in the wall, as a college football fan, this stuff aggravates the hell out of me, that it's going down to this, and you said two different videos? So, I mean, and then you're telling me he played against a level of competition, which isn't even all that great. So what's the big deal? Is it all about the size? Is it the same stuff that plays in the NFL Combine, about the big arm and everything else?
There's a lot of that to it, a lot of projections, a lot of upside. And this is really, you know, there are a couple of different levels. The recruiting sites anoint him as a guy that can ultimately be a program changer. He's someone who has been compared to Matthew Stafford. And so I think, on the one hand, that excites and intrigues a lot of people out there. But I think you bring up another aspect of this, Mike, where in this modern age of college football, where the transfer portal is more prevalent than ever, and you're seeing more kids leave early and not really stick around and develop, what's the point, if you're a fan, of getting invested and getting excited in this when Curtis, and look, because there's even a recent example of this with Georgia and Justin Fields, who they land him in the 2018 recruiting class, and this was before the transfer portal had blown up like it had. They land Justin Fields, who knew that Jake Fromm was going to be there after Jake Fromm leads Georgia to a national championship. And after 1 year at Georgia, Fields ultimately likes to say, hey, I'd like to go elsewhere. I don't think that I can beat out Jake Fromm for the starting job. And Fields ultimately ends up at Ohio State, a move that worked for him. But I think that was just one of the many examples we've seen in recruiting of, okay, this guy is hyped up to be this program-changing recruit, but then he's here for a year, we don't see him play all that much, and then he leaves. What was the point in getting invested in him in the first place? And I think that's only become more prevalent in college football over these years as you've seen the transfer portal become bigger and the dissatisfaction that you sort of see with getting invested in these recruits who just don't stick around for the majority of their college careers.
Is he a program changer, in your opinion?
No, because of where Georgia already is in a year-in, year-out basis. Like he doesn't raise the ceiling of what this program can be, because I think there are fair questions about what Georgia's going to get out of its quarterback play this year in Gunnar Stockton, and they're still seen as a top six, top five team entering this season. So in that regard, he is not someone who changes the face of the program. He is someone who, he's coming in, like, he's going to have to be a big reason they win moving forward because of what revenue sharing might ultimately look like with the House settlement, should that get final approval, and the sort of financial considerations that he's going to command. But he doesn't make Georgia any greater or multiply them to another level because they already, in my mind, occupy that upper tier of college football right now.
Talking with Connor Riley, guys from Dog Nation, the other big story is, you know, we've been waiting like seemingly for like a year and a half now for the federal judge to make the final ruling on just what the salary cap is going to be, for lack of a better word, for the new NIL deal with the NCAA lawsuit and everything else. Meanwhile, we find out that Nick Saban has been lobbying the president along with Senator, I still can't get that out of my head, Senator Tommy Tuberville, to perhaps maybe come up with an executive order that could do something to kind of stabilize this. You buying that?
I'm not, and look, that's all flashy, and I get that. I still think that this House settlement is going to be the way that this sort of gets done and at least ironed out. I believe Thursday is the deadline for the NCAA to come forward with a revised settlement plan that allows a grandfathering in of all the walk-ons who potentially lose their jobs if roster caps of 105 go into place. I know that's all very boring and whatnot in there. I think Thursday is the big day to watch with that in terms of the House settlement and that taking the next step forward. As far as the federal government getting involved, as far as Trump putting forth an executive order, I just think that there are too many moving parts, states' rights, state issues in terms of how they view NIL and things like that for an executive order to have all that much power or impact in this regard. And so, you know, look, the federal government time and time again has been pitched to, hey, come help us with this very serious issue that the NCAA seems. And every time Congress has just sort of been like, yeah, there's much bigger things on the priority there. So I think maybe part of this is Trump leaning into that a little bit and saying, oh, this can be an easy PR win. But I'm skeptical that an executive order is either A, going to come, or B, have that great of an impact on the outlook of college football right now.
I agree with you from the standpoint it needs congressional approval. And then at that point, it changes the magnitude of how it can be applied to your point about the states. But I'll say this. The more we talk about it, maybe it lights a fire under some of these people's butts to maybe understand the magnitude of what we're talking about with college football and how it could be for the betterment, Connor, of the sport long term. And that's kind of what I'm hoping for as these discussions are being had. And I'm glad that the president took that conversation with Nick Saban. Now, of course, he was in Tuscaloosa for the commencement, but you know, that's good. I think those kind of conversations need to be had with more people who are involved with it. We've always said, does college football need a czar? And where are you at on that, by the way, when we talk about the changing, you know, landscape of college football? I don't even know if Nick Saban at this point, he's having so much fun on TV, he'd want to do it. But do you still feel that way, or have you ever felt that way? We need, like, a guy that's in charge.
Yeah, college football needs better leadership. And it's going to come down to the schools and the conferences saying, hey, like, I'm okay giving up things, I'm okay taking less, and doing it for the greater good of college football as a collective. And I just don't think that we're going to see that, because you see continuously the SEC and the Big Ten continuing to try, and this is just for an example, trying to push for more playoff spots, more automatic bids, get four automatic bids, something that has been picked or kicked around with the college football playoff expansion. And that to me is just another example of, hey, instead of doing what is maybe best for the entire sport, we're going to act in our own best self-interest. And so I understand that aspect. But in terms of looking out for the greater good of college football, because there are a lot of fans out there right now, in my opinion, that are upset with the way that the sport has continued to evolve in, I would say, the last 15 years or so. And I just haven't seen anything that leads me to believe that that's where we're headed. But I do agree with you, Carl. We need somebody, a more central force, not the NCAA, because they've clearly just thrown their hands up at it and sort of led into all this. But we do need someone, whether it be a more stringent government body or a single entity, to just focus on football, because football is also, in my mind, impacting so many of the other college sports and college athletics out there.
We know the Wolverines had that dog practice session when they were ready for play Georgia. We never got to see Michigan play Georgia. But Sherrone Moore, they basically cherry-picked the two games they're going to self-discipline themselves over. So he'll get to coach against Oklahoma, Carl and Connor. In your mind, though, Connor, is this Michigan thing tainted? I mean, do you say at the end of the day, 10, 20 years from now, we're going to say those guys cheated to the point where it really was? It was a tainted championship.
To me, no, if only because they won their big games. You know, they beat Ohio State, they beat Alabama, they beat Washington after all that stuff had came out and Stallions had been removed from the program, and they were under such scrutiny during the course of the season there. I think if this all had come out and this whole scandal came out after the championship had been won, I would personally ask more questions about it. But given it happened early on in the season and it unfolded in the manner in which it did, I think it's okay with me in that regard. But I can certainly understand if someone wants to bring that up, because clearly there was some wrongness done. That's why Michigan, not the NCAA in this state, is electing to suspend Sherrone Moore. And so I think if you want to point that out, I think as a college football fan, you're certainly fair and within your rights to do so.
Great stuff. Connor Riley, you lean in one way. You think they're going to send the jet for this kid at 5:30?
I think Jared Curtis, as we sit here right now, at just after 4 o'clock, if I had to make a prediction, I think it would be Georgia.
Okay. Right. We're going to wait to see. Connor, great job. Tell the people where they can follow your stuff.
Yep, you guys can follow me on Twitter, at K Connor Riley. We've got a ton of stuff on this Jared Curtis commitment and plenty more with all the news in college football coming.
All right. Great job, man.